the beginning of a wonderful story from Torah today, and we will continue it next week. But it's a story that shows that rejection is part of our lives. And that's what I want to speak on today. I want to speak on how to handle rejection. Because we live in a world at the moment where many people are being rejected for many reasons, whether it's their workplace, whether it's their whatever it is, and there's more rejections coming up for people if you haven't followed what the government wants you to obey. And when we observe Torah, it tells us not to obey governments, but to obey Yah. And even with the religious exemptions, there's no answer as to whether they've been acknowledged or not in most cases. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today. I just pray that it will be received in the way I felt that it needed to be given. And Abba, we just thank you and praise you that you find a way out of all things for us. And we just give you this word. We ask that it'll be received in grace and give you the glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. Wrong one. Right, so what I've titled my message is A Talent for Handling Rejection. We read how Yosef was the youngest of all his brothers. He was favoured by his father, but rejected by his brothers. And as I said, many of us are going through rejection at the moment because of government mandates and even through families, where some have received it, some haven't. And all I can say is that praise Yah that the mandates have been revoked for places of worship, restaurants and retail, and a whole lot more when the state is to be opened in December. But it is still in place when it comes to the health industry, to the hospitals, to the nursing homes and to the disability workers. But these mandates that they've revoked are only being revoked if the business owners want to revoke them. They don't have to revoke them. They can abide by them or they can disregard them according to the website. So today my aim is to encourage you to stay strong in your faith, trust Yah, and believe with all your heart that we will come through this victorious. The protests around Australia last Shabbat have helped, and I believe they are expecting bigger responses today. In Melbourne, they are expecting 1 million people today to turn up at that protest alone. I'm not too sure what they're expecting in Sydney, but they have received, before it even started, there was a lot of people there and a concert going on for those that were there early. There's also, not only that, but city councils all throughout Queensland are doing the same as what Yeppoon did, and they passed an order in the city council that they will not be abiding by the mandated closures for unvaccinated, for the tourist industry, for the cafes, etc. in Yeppoon. And all through Queensland there are meetings being held that people can vote for this within the council. So let us move on and let's go to the scriptures for today from Bereshit 37 verses 3 to 11. Now Israel loved Yosef the most of all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a long-sleeved robe. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they began to hate him and reached to the point where they couldn't even talk with him in a civil manner. Yosef had a dream which he told his brothers, and that made them made him all the more. He said to them, "Listen while I tell you about this dream of mine. We were tying up bundles of wheat in the field when suddenly my bundle got up by itself and stood right up. Then your bundles came and gathered around mine and prostrated themselves before it." His brothers retorted, "Yes, you will certainly be our king, and you'll do a great job bossing us around." And they hated him still more for his dreams and for what he said. He had another dream which told his brothers that, "Here I had another dream, and there were the sun, the moon, and 11 stars prostrating themselves before me." He told his father too, as well as his brothers, but his father rebuked him. "What is this dream you had? Do you really expect me, your mother, and your brothers to come and prostrate ourselves before you on the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Of all the difficulties in life, I suppose there is none harder to cope with than rejection. And when we look, as I said, it's what's happening at the moment. We had been free to work, go to restaurants, free to come to shul, all throughout the COVID pandemic. But now that they have the so-called vaccine, and because of the government mandates, many are being rejected to partake in normal work life. What the government is doing is rejecting those that cannot, for health, religious or personal reasons, take the jab. It's segregating them into an apartheid type system, and families are doing it to family members as well. People are being treated like lepers of the biblical days. If you live your life in an effort to please others, you will find that you and rejection are closer friends than you ever desired to become. It's not a matter of choice, only of timing. You will experience rejection. If you're going to live for Yehovah and live according to his word, you must develop a talent for handling rejection. When I began to study this subject, some things became very clear to me, and one of which is this. If you are going to seek the favour and the anointing of Yehovah's power on your life, you are opening yourself up to pain, sorrow and rejection. Many would have noticed this already, especially when you start observing Shabbat and coming and observing the Torah, and coming to Shabbat services with the loss of Christian friends. They can't understand why you no longer want to visit them on Christmas Day. And they do this out of ignorance, when in fact you are moving into a deeper relationship with Yah than you have ever experienced before. This is not to say that we should not seek Yehovah's favour, for his favour is the only thing that will make our lives complete. But prepare yourself, because you are going to suffer rejection. So let us just look at Yosef's story. His father Yaakov loved him more than all of the other children. He was a child of Yaakov's old age, so he was probably proud that he could still produce children when Yosef was born. He doted over Yosef. Everywhere he went, Yosef was with him. He was given the first choice of all good things. He was blessed with favour. His father loved him so much that he made him a long-sleeved robe. And that's what it says in the Hebrew text, not a coat of many colours as we learn in the English text. Yaakov did this for Yosef just to be a testament of his love for the boy. But his brothers hated him for the very same reason. In fact, the scriptures say they could not talk peaceably to one another. Shouting matches, shoving, scuffling, and went on continually. We see this within our own households with just a few children, let alone 13 plus children. And I say 13 plus because we know that Yaakov had 12 sons and a daughter, Dinah. But when we read today that when Yaakov heard that Yosef had died, It says he and his daughters. It was plural daughters. We don't know how many daughters there were. And so there would obviously be far more than 13 children. And in the midst of all this, Yehovah's favour began to be evidenced. Not only was Yosef Yaakov's favourite, but it was obvious that Yah was going to do something great through this young man. He began to dream of reigning and ruling. He recognised that he would lead one day his family. And Yosef, of course, told his brothers his dreams, and their hatred grew, and their hatred became rejection. I believe that family rejection is what can cause people to turn to Yah. I know it did in my case. I won't go into my story as it goes back to birth and continues to some extent to this day. And I was only one of five siblings. And this is not to say we should not seek Yehovah's favour, for his favour is the only thing that will make our life complete. What happened there? Went too far. Yosef was rejected, and then he had more dreams, of which not only his brothers but his father as well. More dreams, more hatred, and more rejection. Yaakov has him go and check on his brothers. In Bereshit chapter 37, verses 12 to 14, it says, after this, when his brothers had gone to pasture their father's sheep in Shechem, Israel asked Yosef, "Aren't your brothers pasturing the sheep in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now, see whether these things are going well with your brothers and with the sheep, and bring word back to me." So he sent him away from Hebron Valley, and he sent him to Shechem. So you know how the story goes. His brothers saw him a long way off and started how to scheme how they could get rid of him. And they said, "Well, we can't kill him. It would break our father's heart." So just like Hashatan, they were wanting to destroy but pretending not to hurt anyone. And there is no difference to the agenda and the mantra of the demonic powers of today's governments worldwide. Take the jab to protect yourself and to protect others. They know that they are slowly killing those who take it, but still demanding that boosters are needed. We all know what Yosef's brothers do to him. They throw him in the pit, then sell him off to slave traders. Not only do they sell him, but they deceive their father into believing he is dead. Yosef, as a slave, has favour once again. But then also, he suffers rejection again. Yosef has a talent. He's obviously got a talent to make people see that he is responsible, that he can be used in so many areas. In Bereshit chapter 39, we read how Yosef prospered in the house of Potiphar, who was an official of Pharaoh. In no time he is elevated to a position of authority and became leader of the servants, and all his master's possessions were entrusted to him. He was shown favour above all the previous trusted slaves. Then Potiphar's wife comes into the picture. She pursues him, she tries seducing him, being provocative towards him. And so in fleeing from her, he leaves his coat in her hands. She is so angry that he turned her down. She lied about what happened. Once again, rejection comes along, and Yosef is sent to prison. In Bereshit 39:21-23, it says, "But Yehovah was with Yosef, showing him grace and giving him favour in the sight of the prison warden. The prison warden made Yosef supervisor of all the prisoners in the prison, so that whatever they did there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything Yosef did, because Yehovah was with him, and whatever he did, Yehovah prospered." So still more rejection for Yosef, but he's still prospering. There was something about him that caused them to elevate him very quickly. And he had years of his life spent in prison for no reason. We need to remember that all of this happened when he was still only a teenager. But he was still being blessed. He suffered rejection after rejection. Most young people today, as teenagers, would cave under all of this. Suicide rates in the past 2 years under COVID have been exceedingly high in Yosef's age group. Yosef did not do anything out of the ordinary. He just had the favour of Yehovah on his life. He did not ask for position. He did not ask to be elevated or blessed. Yet the blessings came despite the rejection. We are going to have experienced some days of heartache, trial and confusion merely because we are living for Yehovah and refuse to bow down to the coercion or mandates of the world governments. And this isn't easy. We have to be strong. It won't be easy as the years go by. But we do have to do it and do it together. We do have the favour of Yehovah. We are here for you, just as you are here for us. And Malachi and I truly appreciate you. But you are going to need to have a talent for handling rejection. And we can only do that when we've got each other. When you're feeling rejected, you ring someone up. You contact them. When things are going wrong and things aren't going as you'd hoped, let us know so we can pray with you. We are here for you. I believe the biggest lesson that we have to learn from Yosef is that through it all, Yosef refused to become bitter or angry. I learned over many years of rejection I could change one letter of bitter and make it better. That was my choice. I was going to overcome and be better to those who rejected me. There was no way they were going to see my pain. I was going to stand in front of them and let them see that it didn't matter what they said, it didn't matter what they did, it wasn't going to affect me. Mind you, inside it did. But outside, there was no way I would let them see it. I don't have time to tell you my story today, but we do know from reading the Torah year after year that in the end, Yosef was able to confess to the same brothers that rejected him, that what they meant for evil, Yehovah had intended for good, of which I've previously written a message about. Yes, the rejection of men is painful. We can't deny that. But Yehovah can take their evil and make it good for you. And we have to remember that. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what is happening at the moment to us in our lives. Yah is going to turn it for good. I have no doubt on that. King David is another example. He is also the youngest, or the little brother, the eighth child of eight male brothers. The one that got stuck with the bad chores. We know he is the son of Yishai, but we do not know who his mother is, which leads us to believe that he had a different mother to his brothers, and is the reason for his rejection. David speaks in the Tehillim or Psalms as being the son of a servant girl. David was sent to the back pastures to tend his abba's or daddy's sheep. His brothers thought they were doing themselves a favour, but in fact they were doing David a favour. Their rejection led him to a place of solitude and worship, which was similar to my own story. Sitting on the hillside, he would sing and praise his Creator. Songs of praise came to him as naturally as the ability to breathe. We have proof of this through so many of the Psalms or Tehillim that were written by him. In that place of rejection, David learned that the skills that would guide him through the most difficult days of his life. And there is something that happens to a man or a woman's life when they are put into a place of rejection. They learn life skills to cope. David was able to kill a lion and a bear. They are not normal life skills for a shepherd boy. Then the time came for a new king to be anointed in Shamuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel 16:10-13. It says, Yishai presented 7 of his sons to Shemuel, and Shemuel told Yishai, Yehovah has not chosen these. Are all your sons here? Shemuel asked Yishai. He replied, there's still the youngest. He's out there tending the sheep. Shemuel said to Yishai, send and bring him back, because we won't sit down to eat until he gets here. He sent and brought him in. With ruddy cheeks, red hair and bright eyes, he was a good-looking fellow. Something like Yosef, I think. Yehovah said, stand up and anoint him. He's the one. Shemuel took the horn of oil and anointed him there in his brother's presence. And from that day on, the Ruach of Yehovah would fall upon David with power. So Shemuel set out and went to Ramah. That place on the backside of the hill may have been a rejection to begin with, but it became a place of worship and audience with Yehovah, a place that led him into the favour and the anointing of Yehovah. And as I said, I've learnt many things over the years of going through the school of hard knocks of rejection. But I think the best thing I have learnt is don't get bitter. All we need to do is take the I out of bitter and put an E in its place. It is the difference of changing one vowel for another. We have to use the rejection of men to draw us closer to Yehovah. He has a purpose for your rejection and an anointing for you. David is given the same directions as Yosef when told by his father, go check on your brothers. It's amazing that they're given the same instructions. In Shamuel Aleph, or 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 to 18, it says, David went back and forth from Sheol to pasture his father's sheep at Beit Lechem. Meanwhile, the Philistine approached with his challenge every morning and evening for 40 days. Yishai said to David his son, please take your brothers 5 bushels of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread. Hurry and carry them to your brothers at the camp. Also bring these 10 cheeses to their field officer. Find out if your brothers are well and bring back some token from them. So on his arrival in Shamuel Aleph 17:28, his brothers responded with, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what David spoke to the men, and it made Eliab angry at him. He asked, why did you come down here? With whom did you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are, how wicked your heart is. You just came down to watch the fighting. In other words, what are you doing here? Go back home. Rejection once again. A lovely welcome to a younger brother. There was no reason for David to be there, but Yehovah had sent him to kill Goliath, or Goliath. His past experiences prepared him for this challenge. Remember, he had killed a lion and a bear when out tending the sheep. Now Goliath is defeated. Wow, Shaul has killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. David is now elevated and exalted as a hero. Then it happened again. Rejection raises its ugly head. Shaul threw a spear at David and swore that he would kill him, so David is left fleeing for his life. He spends it in caves, hideouts, and lives like a virtual vagabond style. Yet in this time of rejection and fleeing, this anointed king with no throne penned one of the greatest statements of worship ever written. And it's from Tehillim, Psalms 34, verse 1. He says, I will bless Yehovah at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. We can learn from that one short sentence that we can bless Yehovah. It doesn't matter what our circumstances. We can praise him for the blessings that we have. We can praise him for what we do have all the time. It doesn't matter what man does to us. As long as we've got Yehovah in our heart, we can bless him at all times and praise him from our mouth. We need to develop a talent for handling rejection. And I believe that that is one of the keys of doing it. Are you praying for Yehovah to use you? Are you praying for Yah to make a place for you in his work? Are you asking Yah to help you to help others? Then you better also start asking for the ability to handle rejection. You are going to need it. I can assure you, you get a lot of it. Now let us look at Yeshua. The scripture says that there was no room at the inn. We know this is symbolic as he was born during Sukkot, at a time when there were no hotels, no motels, no inns, and definitely no Airbnbs. The only place there was room for Yeshua was on a stake. He sought an entry into the overcrowded hearts of men, but he could not find it, and still his search and his rejection went on. Light came into the world through him, but men would not receive it, for they loved darkness more than light, as do many of this age. Yeshua's ministry was one of compassion, power, and rejection. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 22, it says, Now he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On Shabbat he went to the synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, The Ruach of Yehovah is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the imprisoned, and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favour of Yehovah. And after closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, he sat down and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. Today, as you heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled. Everyone was speaking well of him and marvelling that such an appealing words were coming from his mouth. They were even asking, Can this be Yosef's son? Yosef and Miriam, that is. He continued to tell them how his ministry would be rejected by his own people in Luke 4:28-30. Hearing this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town and dragged him to the edge of a cliff on which their town was built, intending to throw him off. But as he walked right through the middle of the crowd, and went away. If you've ever been to Nazareth, there's two Nazareths. There's a lower one at the bottom of the mountain, which is the Arab Nazareth, and you go right up to the top, to the cliff that they're talking about, where he could have gone right over, is the Hebrew Nazareth. And it's in the Galilee. So life is not easy. Rejection is a part of life. So let me give you a definition of true rejection. Yeshua's ministry was rejected. It is still rejected by his people to this very day. One day he's being paraded and praised through the streets on the back of a donkey. Palm branches were waving, children are dancing and parents are leaping. Messiah Yeshua, Master, they keep calling. It is only a few hours later The same people are demanding that his blood be upon them and their children. That is rejection. He's taken to a court, accused of blasphemy, subordination and inciting ill will against Rome. He is then turned over to a Roman rule system. He was a harmless, helping, hope-filled man reduced to the level of a common thief. Then he is stripped of his clothing. He was tied to a post. There the soldiers began to beat his back until the flesh tore away. A crown of thorns was fashioned for his and thrust upon his scalp. The thorns pierced his flesh and tore his skull. A rod was used to beat him more. His beard was torn from his face as the soldiers spit upon him and mocked him. That is rejection. None of us have suffered like that. Don't tell me it's too hard to live for Yehovah. Don't tell me that I don't know how bad you have it. Don't tell me that you do not have any friends. If you are in this room, if you are listening online, we are your friends. That is why we are here. You have friends. They may not be close to you, but we're at the end of the phone call. All you have to do is ring. Look at Yeshua. In Matthew 27:27-31, the governor's soldiers took Yeshua into the headquarters building, and the whole battalion gathered around him. They stripped off his clothes, put on him a scarlet robe, wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head, and put a stick in his right hand. Then they kneeled down in front of him and made fun of him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him and used the stick to beat him about the head. And when they had finished ridiculing him, they took off the robe, put his clothes back on him, and led him away to be nailed to execution stake. Then we continue to read in Yochanan 27:35-43. After that they nailed him to the stake. They divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. Then they sat down to keep watch over him there. Above his head they placed the written notice stating the charge against him. "This is Yeshua, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were placed on execution stakes with him, one on the right hand, one on the left. People passing by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you can destroy the temple, can you, and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself if you are the son of Elohim, and come down from the stake." Likewise, the head Kohanim jeered at him, along with the Torah teachers and the elders. "He saved others, but he can't save himself. So he's king of Israel, is he? Is he? Let him come down now from the stake. Then we'll believe him." He trusted Yehovah, so let him rescue him if he wants him. After all, he did say, "I'm the son of Yehovah." In Yochanan John 19:25-27, it says, "Nearby Yeshua's execution stake stood his mother, his mother's sister Miriam, the wife of Kalotha, and Miriam from Magdala. When Yeshua saw his mother and the Talmid whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, 'Mother, this is your son.' And he said to the Talmid, 'This is your mother.' And from that time on, the Talmid took her into his own home." How do you think it was that Yeshua could look into the eyes of his weeping mother and tell her, "Go home"? And also say, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." There was no room for Yeshua in the inn, as they say. In fact, there was no room for him anywhere except on the stake. As his own words tells us, he had no home of his own. In Luke 9 and verse 58, Yeshua answered him, "The foxes have holes, the birds flying have their nests, but the Son of Man has no home of his own." It's time to put the proper perspective on our walk with Yehovah and Yeshua. No matter what it is that we go through, it is worth it. It's worth it to be saved. No rejection of men will ever damn you, but rejection of Yehovah and Yeshua will. Let me finish with this last scripture, and it is a long one. It's from Messianic Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. So then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us too put aside every impediment, that is, the sin which easily hampers our forward movement, and keep running with endurance to the contest set before us, looking away to the initiator and completer of that trusting Yeshua, who in exchange for obtaining the joy set before him, endured execution on a stake as a criminal, scorning the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yehovah. Yes, think about him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you won't grow tired of becoming despondent. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in the contest against sin. We need a talent for handling rejection. We need to use Yeshua as our guide. Our dependence is on him and what he has done to give us through our salvation and giving us eternal life. We have nothing to fear when we depend on him. Rejection can do nothing to us. So that's all I've got to say, and I pray that you can not just receive that, but receive Yeshua in a way that, knowing it doesn't matter what happens, he is there for us. I know the least thing that can happen to us is that, and I've said it before, the gulag can come and take me and I can die. Put me in a gulag because I won't take the jab, and I'll die in it because I can't get my medication or I can't get whatever. But I'll go to be with Yeshua. My death will not be anything like his. I'm sure of that. No one has suffered rejection like he has suffered. And it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But if we stick together, if we hold close to each other, we are family. Each and every one of us. Online, no matter where in the world you might be, listening to it now or listening to it later on, or in this room. We are family, and we stick together. Our blood families can reject us, and maybe many have. But that doesn't matter. Our strength and our faith is in Yehovah and what his son Yeshua did for us. So has anyone got any questions? Nope. We'll move on to the remembrance service.